Welcome to our podcast. I am Linda Messer. My husband Ron and I invite you to join us in our weekly broadcast of A New Voice of Freedom. Welcome to Season 5 of A New Voice of Freedom, written by Ronald Keith Messer. This podcast is part of a series we call Stories of the New Testament, an appendage to a series of books written under the banner In Defense of Christianity. Podcast 57 is entitled Gethsemane B.
In last week's episode, we explored the first half of the story of Gethsemane. In this week's episode, we shall explore the second half. Last week, Linda and I ended with Christianity's favorite scriptures.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Christ alone had the power to remove the cup. He didn't need the Father's permission for that. Christ was God. Christ was sinless. Christ's calling and election were made sure. He could have walked out of the Garden of Gethsemane and still been God, for justice had no power over him, being perfect. He could walk away still being God, but he couldn't walk away still satisfying the law of justice and becoming our Savior and Redeemer. And he couldn't walk away and still do the will of the Father. It was Christ's obedience to his Father's will that kept Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, where in unspeakable anguish he suffered for our sins by satisfying the precise demands of the law of justice. There was no alternative. That is why the Father remained silent. The law of justice demanded it. That is why the Father could not let Christ off the hook. It was all or nothing. The entire burden fell upon Christ. It was either him or us. Both God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son chose us. The Father suffered as much as the Son did. Remember, he is omniscient. He knew what his beloved Son was going through, because it was because of the Father's laws that Christ had to suffer. That is one of the greatest paradoxes in Christianity. God could not rescind the law of justice, not even to save his Son from agony, or he would cease to be God. God's very existence depends upon the law of justice being unconditional and absolute. Christ did not ask the Father to remove the cup 3 times. He only asked him to remove it once. In the other 2 prayers, as recorded by Matthew, Christ acquiesces to the Father's will.
1. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. 2. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and he left them and went away again and prayed the 3rd time, saying the same words.
There are 3 important differences between the law of justice and the law of mercy. 1. The law of justice is unconditional. The law of mercy is conditional. 2. The law of justice is primary. The law of mercy is secondary. 3. Only God can live the law of justice. Man can only live the law of mercy. By satisfying the law of justice, Christ made it possible for us to return to the presence of God through the conditions of the law of mercy imposed by the law of justice. Though no man is perfect, it is theoretically possible for man to live the law of mercy perfectly. Else God would not be just. Christ judges us only for the sins we commit, not for the sins of others. That is just one of the free gifts of the atonement. We cannot live the law of justice because we are already outside the law of justice. That happened not in the Garden of Gethsemane, but in the Garden of Eden. 2 things occurred in the Garden of Eden that we had no power over. 1 was spiritual death. And the other was temporal death. In spiritual death, we were cut off forever from the presence of the Father. In temporal death, our spirit and our body were separated forever, never to be rejoined. Without the law of mercy, there would be no resurrection, and our spirits would be subjects of Satan forever. The price of redemption was Gethsemane and the cross. However, although we can blame Adam for the fall, we cannot blame Adam for our fall. Those who say they didn't choose to come to earth are totally mistaken. No one comes to earth to gain a physical body without choosing to. It is according to the law of agency. Let's go back to the beginning. We are all intelligences. Intelligence cannot be created or destroyed. Our consciousness or intelligence has always existed. In other words, you have never not existed. Consciousness is ageless, else there would be no intelligence, no God, and no us. We chose to enter into the kingdom of God through His invitation. We were not forced to become God's children any more than we were forced to come to earth. As a reward, we were given a spirit body in the likeness and image of God. That put us on the road to perfection, to salvation, and to exaltation. That is why He is called our Creator. He created our spirit body, and through His Son, Jesus Christ, He created our temporal body. Jesus Christ, under the direction of the Father, also created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. Why did we choose such a difficult route? We chose because we wanted to become just like God, the Father of our spirits. He was omniscient. He was the greatest intelligence of all, and we wanted to be like Him. From the beginning, we knew the price. To earn the right to come to earth and to gain a body, we had to follow Christ during the war in heaven. Christianity was born in heaven. It was an all-or-nothing war. The outcome was never an issue, nor is it an issue on earth. The only issue was and is which side we choose to be on. Clearly, in the first estate, we chose the right side, or we would not be here now. In Jude 1:6, we read,
"And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day."
Now that we are in the second estate, also called earth life, we are making that same choice again. All of the posterity of Adam chose Christ in the beginning. All of the posterity of Adam began their life on earth as Christians, because the Spirit of Christ is given to everyone at birth. Everyone born on earth, regardless of culture, religion, nationality, etc., has the light of Christ. That is how we discern good and evil. That is why absolute values are similar among all religions, nations, and cultures. There is only one Savior and one Satan. All good comes from Christ and all evil comes from Satan. He works with all the children of God in one voice, though it has many accents. And ultimately, whether in this life or the next, we will discover that absolute truth. A third part of the spirits in heaven, however, followed Lucifer. They became angels to Lucifer, who was perdition, and, as a consequence, became sons of perdition. They forfeited the right to come through Adam's lineage and gain a physical body. They forfeited their right to the law of mercy. Originally, they thought they could win. They were mistaken. God was omnipotent. Lucifer wasn't. Just as we chose to enter the kingdom of God, we also chose to put our trust in Christ and come to earth after the fall and gain a body. Trust in Christ to atone for our sins and bring about our resurrection and salvation. In Job 38 we read,
"Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy?"
Christ was the first to be resurrected because the law of justice required it. Every commandment of God is a condition placed upon the law of mercy by the law of justice. That is why it is necessary to keep the commandments. The commandments are synonymous with law. All commandments of God fall under the law of mercy. Its scope is enormous. Because of the law of mercy, that which is governed by law is also preserved, perfected, and sanctified by law. Woe is the person who cannot be sanctified by law, by justice, by judgment, or by mercy. Their condition is pitiful. Before Christ, there was no one to resurrect us, not even the Father. That was entirely a gift of the law of mercy, made possible only after the atonement and resurrection of Christ. All of the posterity of Adam and Eve will be resurrected before the final judgment. Though Christ came 4,000 years after Adam, his atonement is retroactive and covers all the posterity of Adam. However, the resurrection and final judgment did not take place for anyone until after Christ was resurrected and earned the right to be our Redeemer, which came after he fully satisfied the demands of the law of justice. In other words, because of the restrictions of the law of justice, no one, not even those of the stature of Adam and Abraham, would be judged until after their resurrection, which means Christ first had to atone for our sins. He had to die for our sins, and he had to be resurrected and break the hold of the law of justice before anyone could inherit the kingdoms of heaven spoken of by Paul.
1 Corinthians 15:40-42. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption.
We cannot obey the law of justice. Only Christ could do that. But we can keep the conditions of the law of mercy imposed by the law of justice. The law of justice is unconditional. Only the law of mercy is conditional, and those conditions are outlined very carefully in the Holy Scriptures. The conditions of the law of mercy give us agency. All commandments fall under the law of mercy. That is why we are judged for our works. And what are those works? We will be judged by the things we do, the thoughts we have, the words we say, and the commandments we keep. But even with all that, we must endure to the end. Christ taught us that in the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross. The purpose of the Holy Scriptures is to teach us the conditions of mercy imposed upon us because of the law of justice. All laws in the Holy Scriptures belong to the law of mercy. Christ alone lived the law of justice. The law of mercy has conditions only because the law of justice must be satisfied, even by Christ, as we learned in the Garden of Gethsemane. Because of the above, we have a sure way to succeed in things that have eternal significance. It is captured in Proverbs 3.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
Following Christ's experience, he finds the apostles asleep. He reprimands them.
He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Christ returns to his prayers and, as stated earlier, prays twice more, showing his willingness to do the will of the Father. When the agony is over, he returns to his chief apostles and again finds them fast asleep. This time he speaks gently.
Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners.
Christ shed his blood on the cross, as we know, the agony of which we cannot imagine. But the greatest agony was his inexpressible anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane, where blood came from every pore.
Thank you for listening. Watch for our next podcast.